Hi, good morning. Good to see each one of you here today. And want to continue this series that we started last week on praying with the Lord Jesus. And you remember last time we began by considering the first recorded prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed. Certainly he prayed many times before that. But the first recorded mention of the Lord Jesus actually praying was at his baptism. At the very beginning of his ministry, when according to the scripture he was about 30 years of age. And that was the first recorded instance that we find of him praying. And if you remember, we saw a couple of things concerning that. First of all, we saw the practice of his praying, how that this was not just a one-off deal. It was actually the result of a lifestyle. It was his lifestyle to pray. It was not an unusual thing. In other words, it was a way of life for him. And so we talked about the practice of his praying, and then we talked about the purpose of his praying. The purpose of his praying. And you remember there were three things that we mentioned. The purpose of the prayer. First of all, it was to dedicate himself. The purpose of the prayer was to dedicate himself. In other words, to dedicate himself to completely do the will of his heavenly Father throughout his ministry. That was the purpose of the prayer, to dedicate himself. It was also to prepare himself. It was to prepare himself. You remember we saw how that very soon, in fact immediately after this, he was going to be going out into the wilderness where that he would be facing the temptations of Satan. And before he went out into that wilderness area to do spiritual battle with the devil, he understood he needed to prepare himself with prayer. By the way, we need the same thing, do we not? We need the very same thing. I fear that many times we fall into sin simply because we have not prepared ourselves for the temptations that Satan is going to bring against us. And the best way to prepare yourself is to spend time on your knees in prayer. And so he's prayed to dedicate himself, to prepare himself. Number three, to assure himself. To assure himself. You see, even the Lord Jesus understood that the success of his ministry would be dependent on it starting with prayer. And so he assured himself of success in his ministry because he would begin that ministry with a season of prayer. So we talked about the purpose of his praying. Then number three, we talked about the product of his praying. In other words, what was it that came as a result of the prayer? What was the result of this prayer? And again, there were three things that we saw together. First of all, we saw the power of God. The Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God for the ministry to which he was being called. We also saw the acceptance of God. The acceptance of God. You remember as a result of that prayer, not only does the Holy Spirit come upon him, but the voice is heard from heaven. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. So there was the acceptance of God. But there was also something else that we saw there. Not only the acceptance of God, there was also the praise from God. You remember God the Father speaking from heaven not only said, "This is my beloved Son," but he also made this statement, "In whom I am well pleased." In whom I am well pleased. And so there was the praise from God. Well, now this morning we want to turn and we want to notice the second occasion when we find the Lord Jesus Christ spending time in prayer. And the second occasion, it's found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 35, the Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but as I was studying this, I realized something I'd never really thought about or really never noticed before. This was actually, according to the context, this was actually a Sunday morning when he prayed. It was on a Sunday morning. You say, well, how do you figure that? Well, if you read the context there, Mark chapter 1, verse 21 down to verse number 34, it is the morning after the Sabbath day, which was on a Saturday. It was the morning after the Sabbath. It was a Sabbath that had been filled with busy ministry. It was a Saturday that had been filled, or a Sabbath that had been filled with people coming and going, and he was teaching, and then even into the evening he's healing people and casting out devils, and so it's been a very busy Sabbath day, and then the Bible tells us early in the morning, great while before day, on that Sunday morning, the Lord Jesus Christ goes out and he spends time in prayer. But the key that I want us to notice here, the key feature of this prayer that we want to consider together, the key feature in this prayer that we want us to consider together is, I want you to notice, the Bible very clearly tells us here, he prayed in a solitary place. He prayed in a solitary place. And even though this idea is seen on several occasions in the prayer life of Jesus, and we're gonna see this again and again as we go through this series dealing with praying with Jesus. As we go through it, several times we're going to see him alone, spending time in prayer. But the emphasis that I want us to notice here is that it was in a secret place. That's the emphasis I want us to notice today. So as we examine this instance of our Lord Jesus in prayer, I want us to begin a couple of things that we can observe, that we can learn together. Number one, I want us to notice the spirit of the prayer. The spirit of the prayer. As we consider the spirit of the prayer, there are actually two things that we can mention here. First of all, letter A, I want you to notice that in this prayer, it was a earnest spirit. There was an earnest spirit about it. An earnest spirit. And this is clearly stated when we consider the text says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day. We'll never do much praying. Please understand this. We'll never do much praying, and we'll never do much of anything else that is worthwhile if we are not earnest about it. There has to be an earnestness. There has to be an earnestness. That is, in other words, there has to be an earnest dedication that is involved in the action. And in our text, we can very clearly see the earnest dedication of the Lord Jesus in prayer. And the reason why he was so earnest in this was simply because of the fact he understood the importance of it. He was earnest in it because he understood and recognized the importance of spending time with prayer. John Butler, in his commentary, he said this. He said, if we are going to have an earnest spirit about spiritual matters, physical rest will at times have to take a back seat to the spiritual. So many times we put the physical desires ahead of the spiritual needs, don't we? Hello? Yeah, we do that, don't we? So many times we put our physical before the spiritual. We put our physical desires, physical feelings, physical things before the spiritual things. But we need to turn that around if we're going to be spiritually victorious in our life. If we're going to have an earnest spirit about spiritual matters, then there has to be a willingness to put the flesh aside, to put the physical things aside. The Lord Jesus was more earnestly concerned about God's spiritual blessings on his life. He was more earnestly concerned about God's spiritual blessings on his ministry than he was about getting a few extra hours of sleep. In other words, his priority was God, the will of God, the plan of God, the power of God in his life and in his ministry. And so that brings us, not only do we see that it was an earnest spirit of prayer that we find here, but I want you to notice it was also, there was an early spirit. There was an early spirit. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 63 and verse number 1, the psalmist said this. He said, O God, Thou art my God. And notice what he said. He said, early, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land. I want you to notice the psalmist, his earnestness created an spirit that made him willing to be early in seeking after God. Early seeking after God. And in Mark chapter 1 verse 35 concerning the Lord Jesus, we find the same thing. In the morning, rising up a great while before day. The words in this text actually tell us two things. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose up to pray, it was during the last watch in the night. Now, the last watch in the night started at 3 a.m. And it went from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That was the last watch. That was the last watch of the night. Now, the words, a great while before day, a great while before day, these words tell us that the Lord Jesus probably arose sometime shortly after 3 in the morning, in order that he might spend time alone with prayer. In other words, it was in the early part of that last watch. Sometime shortly after 3 a.m., he got out of bed in order that he might spend time with his Heavenly Father in prayer. Now, I will give you a couple of quotes here. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, here's what he wrote. He that wishes to enjoy religion will seek a place of secret prayer in the morning. If that is omitted, if it is skipped, if it is ignored, all will go wrong, or our piety will wither. The world will fill our thoughts, temptations will be strong. You see, when we skip that early time of prayer, we go out into a world that is filled with all kinds of enemies and all kinds of temptations that we have to deal with. And if we are not armed with prayer, we're not ready for the battle. That's basically what he's telling us. Fantastic thought to consider. Not only the quote from Albert Barnes, E.M. Bounds, he said this in his book. He wrote, "The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees." They have been early on their knees. A desire for God which cannot break the chains of sleep. A desire for God that cannot break the chains of sleep is a weak thing, and will do but little good for God after it has indulged itself fully. The importance of prayer. Early prayer. Starting the day with prayer. That is something that cannot be overestimated. In other words, the Lord Jesus, because he had an early spirit, he did not set his alarm to get out of bed 30 minutes before he had to be at the office. You know, you jump out of bed, you kind of run through the shower like a car wash, you know. Zip! Grab the towel, jump into your clothes, and you're out the door, right? Catch the MRT, catch the bus, whatever. No, he got up early. He got up early so he'd have plenty of time to commune with his Heavenly Father. He got up early so he would not have to rush through his prayer time, but that he would be able to fully prepare himself for the things that he would face, because he understood that if he failed to commune with the Lord before the day began, it would be very difficult to serve as he should throughout the day. throughout the day. And so he began his time with the Heavenly Father before the responsibilities of the day overtook him. It was an early spirit, an early spirit. Bottom line, starting the day off with a time of prayer, starting the day off by being alone with God and spending time in His Word, that is the best way to start your day and to prepare yourself spiritually for all of the things that you will encounter throughout that day. And so we see the spirit of the prayer. The spirit of the prayer. Number two, I want you to notice the separation for the prayer. The separation for the prayer. Again, quoting John Butler in his commentary, he said this. He said, those who would excel spiritually will find it necessary to separate from both people, even good people, and places at times in order to attend to spiritual duties. Those who excel spiritually will often have to separate from many things in order to attend to their spiritual pursuits. And so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find here in our text. I want you to notice the Bible tells us in Mark 1:35 that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, notice the next three words, He went out. He went out. Three things that I want us to notice. I believe the Lord Jesus left. Three things that He left. When He went out, there were three things that He separated Himself from. There are three things that He left in order that He might pray. First of all, letter A, He left the comforts. He left the comforts. The Lord Jesus, while in the city of Capernaum, would normally stay in a house that belonged to Simon Peter. You find that in Mark chapter 1, verse 29, also in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Normally, that would be the house where Jesus would stay when He was in the city of Capernaum. But early at morning, while it was still dark outside, the Bible says that He slipped out of His bed. Sunday morning. Remember I told you this was on a Sunday morning? Have you ever noticed how on Sunday morning there's nothing more comfortable than that bed? Is it true for you? Boy, it is for me. Man, on Sunday morning I wake up and boy, that bed feels so good. The covers feel so nice and warm and comfortable and I got to get up. Now, see, if I was you, I could say, man, I just won't go today. But see, I can't do that because somebody's got to preach, right? So comfortable. But He left all that. He left the comfort of the bed. While it's still dark outside, He left the comfort of the house. And the Bible says that He went out in order that He might spend time with prayer. He left the comforts. Left the comforts. Not only did He leave the comforts, letter B, He left the community. He left the community. Notice in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out. And then notice what it says, and departed into a solitary place. Into a solitary place. The Greek word here is eremos. And it's translated in our King James Bible in several different ways. Same word, but it's translated different ways. Here it's translated solitary place. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it's translated a wilderness place. It's a wilderness place. In Matthew 14, verse 13, it's translated a desert place. A desert, not desert, but desert, okay? A desert place. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, it's translated a desolate place. But the root meaning of the word, in each of those situations, it becomes obviously clear. The root meaning of the word is it was simply a lonesome place. It's a place to go in order to be totally alone. To be totally alone. In other words, the Lord Jesus left behind the noise, and He left behind the lights, and He left behind the distractions of the city, and He went to a place where nothing would distract Him while He was praying. Someone has well said, you cannot stay in the midst of the world's clamor and spend quality time with God. You cannot stay in the midst of the world's clamor and spend quality time with God. Of course, we understand this morning that finding a wilderness place, finding a desert place, pretty much impossible here in Singapore. There just isn't one that I have found. Just isn't one. But all of us can find a solitary place. Even in Singapore. Even in Singapore, we can find a solitary place. It may be in a closet. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, where He told His disciples, when you pray, you go into the closet, and when you have shut the door, you can go into a closet, or you can go into an extra room in your house and shut the door and shut out the distractions that would hinder you from your prayer. Or you could do like the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. You could go up on a rooftop where you can just be alone with God and spend time with Him in prayer. But the idea in this lonesome place, when he leaves the community, simply means that he went to a place where he would not be distracted, where that he could spend time communing with the Heavenly Father. He left the comforts. He left the community. Not only that, let her see, I want you to notice that he left companions. He left companions. Many times it's not only the place that creates distractions. Many times it's not only the place that creates distractions, it's also people who can distract us during our time of prayer. Now we know that while the Lord Jesus was staying at the house of Simon Peter there in Mark chapter 1 verse 29 to 30, as we've already mentioned, while He's staying there in that house there in the city of Capernaum, we know that Peter's wife was there. You say, how do you know Peter's wife was there? Well, we know Peter's wife was there was because his mother-in-law was also there. And you can't have a mother-in-law if you don't have a wife. Right? That's one of the curses of being married. You get a mother-in-law. Okay? I didn't say that, okay? Please, I didn't. Don't tell my mother-in-law I said that. But Peter's wife was there. Why? Well, his mother-in-law, how do we know she was there? Because Jesus had just healed her the day before during that Sabbath day. And so Peter's wife was there. His mother-in-law was there. You read the context there in Mark chapter 1. You find that Peter's brother Andrew, he's also there. James and John are also there, according to the context. And the thing about it is, all of these people I have just mentioned were very dear friends to the Lord Jesus. They were very dear friends to the Lord Jesus. And yet many times it's those who are the nearest to us. Many times it is those who are the dearest to us who can actually create the greatest distractions for us when it comes to spending time with God in prayer. And so the Lord Jesus, He left them there in the house. He gets out of the bed. He leaves the comforts. He leaves the community. Goes out into a lonely area. Leaves behind all of His friends and those who are the nearest and dearest to His heart. He leaves all of that behind in order that He might go out and spend time with His Heavenly Father in prayer. So there's the spirit of prayer. There's also the separation for the prayer. But then I want you to notice thirdly, let's notice the specifics in the prayer. The specifics in the prayer. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35 again, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now while our text, couple of things that we want to notice here. First of all, the content of it. The content of it. And while our text does not record anything that the Lord Jesus specifically said during this prayer, you don't actually find what He said in the context of this of what we're looking at. doesn't tell us exactly what he said. But the Greek word that is translated prayed, it tells us something about the contents of the prayer. You see, the word translated prayed, according to Strong's Concordance, the word translated prayed actually carries a twofold idea. In other words, the Greek word translated prayed here, first of all, it carries the idea to worship. In other words, it is the offering of praise to God. It carries the idea of worshiping God, giving praise to God. But the word translated prayed, not only does it carry the idea to worship, it also carries the idea to supplicate. To supplicate. In other words, to offer a petition to God. To make a request of God. And so therefore, when we consider this prayer that Jesus prayed, then immediately we understand that our prayers ought to include both of those things. It ought to include praise and petitions. Our prayers ought to include that. Far too many times our prayers are selfish. Our prayers are selfish. Stop and think about it. We come to God in prayer and we ask Him to give us all that we desire, and yet we give to Him nothing that He desires. In other words, we come with our long list of petitions, but there is no worship, which is what God desires that we might give to Him. Far too often our prayers are very selfish. Therefore, we ought to pay close attention to the instruction of the psalmist when he said in the Psalm 100 and verse number 4, enter into His gates with petitions. Is that what it says? No. No, when you enter into His gates, you come first with thanksgiving. Yes. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know what the psalmist is telling us there? He's telling us the same thing that the Lord Jesus told us when He gave us the outline for prayer. It ought to begin with worship. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. It starts with worship. It starts with worship. And after we have given to Him the worship that He desires, then we bring to Him the petitions that we have. Don't expect God. Don't expect God to give us everything we ask for when we refuse to give Him that which He desires from us. You see, it is a two-way street. It is a two-way street. The bottom line, while the prayer of the Lord Jesus on this occasion was certainly filled with petitions, I think there were many things that He prayed for, many things that He requested. I think He prayed for power to be on His life and on His ministry. I think He prayed for God's direction to lead and guide Him. I think He prayed for His disciples that they would be faithful in their service to the Lord. I think there are many things that the Lord Jesus prayed for, but I'm convinced with all my heart that the greater part of the prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed on this occasion was worship. The greater part was worship, honoring, praising, glorifying His Heavenly Father. I want you to notice not only the content of it, I want you to notice letter B, the length of it. The length of it. A.T. Robertson, in his set of books, he wrote a book called Word Pictures in the New Testament. He's a Greek scholar, and A.T. Robertson noted that the word that is translated prayed in our text. And here's what he said. He said, it is in the imperfect tense, picturing Jesus as praying through the early morning hours. In other words, this is not a short prayer. This is not a quick prayer. But this was a lengthy prayer that lasted through the morning hours as He's spending time alone with His Heavenly Father. Many times we sing the song, don't we? Sweet hour of prayer. I wonder how many times that song that we sing is really true in our life. Sweet hour of prayer. I remember one time I was going to pray for an hour. I made up my mind, okay, I'm going to pray for an hour. And so I got up early and I went into my place where I could be alone, and I began to pray. And I prayed for my family, and I prayed for my wife particularly, and for my two sons, and then I prayed for our church, and prayed for all the needs of our church and for the people in our church, and then I prayed for all the missionaries, and I prayed for everything I knew to pray for, and I thought, surely it's been an hour, and I looked at it, it'd been 15 minutes. Sweet hour of prayer. Do we really know what that's about? Actually getting alone and spending an extended time with God in prayer? You say, well, preacher, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. By the way, did you know that prayer is not all about you talking to God? There comes a time in prayer when sometimes you just need to shut up and listen. And let God talk. Let God's Spirit begin to move in your heart. Remember, we don't know what to pray for as well, but His Spirit, remember? His Spirit helps us. There are times when yes, we need to express our heart's desire, our fears, our concerns, our requests. We need to present all of that to the Lord. But there comes a time when we just need to humbly stay quiet before Him. And give Him an opportunity to work in our heart. A lot of times we just come in, Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're out the door. And we never give God an opportunity to respond to us, to speak to our hearts. John Butler, in his commentary again, he noted this. He said, while quality prayer is not measured only by minutes, one will not do much quality praying if the minutes do not approach hours at times. The Lord Jesus prayed through the whole morning, great while before day, and He prays all the way until the day. If He starts a little after 3 a.m., the day begins at 6 a.m., you do the math. Not 1 hour, not 2 hours. Very possibly 3 hours that He spent in prayer. There's the spirit of the prayer, the separation for the prayer, the specifics in the prayer. And then last of all, I want us to notice this. I want us to notice the schedule after the prayer. The schedule after the prayer. S.D. Gordon, he wrote a book called Quiet Talks on Prayer. Here's what he said. He said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed. Now listen to it carefully. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. You get the idea? In other words, whatever the situation you face may be, prayer always must come first. Prayer must come first. And that's exactly what we find in our text. When the others in the house finally woke up, and we don't know what time they woke up, but they finally got out of the bed, they noticed that the Lord Jesus was not in the house, and so they went looking for Him. And so then Mark chapter 1, verse 36 to verse 37, we find they're searching for Him. They probably search through the house. Then they search through the yard and the area around the house. And then they begin to search through the city. Finally, they end up out in the outside of the city limits there in what would be called the wilderness, the desert area, the solitary place. And there they finally find Him. And when they found Him, He gave to them then His schedule. Interesting. The schedule was made, get this, the schedule was made after the prayer. You get the order? So many times we make our schedule, don't we? We make our to-do list. Okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Okay, God, here's my plan, now You bless it. But I want you to notice the Lord Jesus, he made his schedule after the time of prayer. After communing with God. Now he makes his schedule. Now he makes his schedule. I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, the declaration of it. The declaration of it. As the Lord Jesus spoke of his schedule, there are three things that he's going to mention. First of all, he mentions the place of it. The place of it. And as we consider the place of it, Mark 1:38 tells us it's going to be a ministry that is going to be reaching into the next towns. He's going to not just stay in Capernaum, but he's going to be going to other areas now. And he's going to minister in other places, in other towns. And in Luke chapter 4, verse number 43, he's going to be ministering even in other cities. His schedule is to follow and to be busy about the work of the ministry in other places. Then I want you to notice not only the place of it, notice the priority of it. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 43, which is actually a parallel passage to the text that we have seen this morning in Mark chapter 1. In the parallel passage, here's what the Lord Jesus said. Notice these two words. He said, I must. After spending time in prayer, the schedule of the Lord Jesus, here's the point, the schedule of the Lord Jesus was focused not on doing what He wanted to do, but doing what His Father wanted Him to do. And so He said, I must. Someone has well noted that the will of God is given to us in the form of commands, not suggestions. The will of God is given in the form of commands, not suggestions. So therefore, the Lord Jesus, after prayer, He made it His priority to do the will of His Heavenly Father. And let me just tell you this morning that any prayer that does not make our obedience to God a priority in our life is a prayer that has been nothing more than a waste of your breath. If the prayer does not bring you to absolute obedience to the will of God, then you're just wasting your time. You're going through the motions, but there's nothing there. Nothing there. The priority of it. And then I want you to notice number three, the purpose of it. The schedule of the Lord Jesus was dedicated. Mark 1:38 and Luke 4:43. It's dedicated to one thing and to one thing only, and that is to preaching, to proclaiming the saving message of the gospel in every place where that the Lord Jesus went. In other words, His whole life was wrapped up in doing the will of His Father, which was taking the message of salvation to every place. To every place. The declaration of it. I want you to notice a second thing very quickly. The doing of it. The doing of it. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 39, if you look down, the Bible says, and He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Bottom line is the man, the woman who proves faithful in their service to God, the man, the woman who proves faithful in doing the will of their God, will be the man or the woman who, just like the Lord Jesus, is willing to spend much time in prayer with God. The one who best fulfills God's plan, God's purpose for their life, is the one who spends the most time in the solitary place, in the secret place of prayer. I bring this to a close. Let me just mention that the Lord Jesus, even though He was the Son of God incarnate, even though He was the Son of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus knew the value He knew the importance of spending time in the secret place of prayer with His Heavenly Father. And let me close by reminding you of the words of the psalmist. Psalm 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. The solitary place. It's not a secret because nobody knows where it is. It's a secret because not many people ever go there. It's kind of like when you go to the travel agent and they say, we have this secret holiday vacation. Well, it's not a secret. Everybody knows where that place is. Problem is, just not many people go there. And that's the same thing that is true about this place of prayer. It's a secret place. Why? Because not many people are going to bother to go. Not many people are going to make it a priority to go. But here's the promise. He that will dwell in the secret place. And by the way, notice the word is dwelleth, not visits, during times of great trouble. No, it's a place where you dwell. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you want to abide in the place where God's blessings are? Do you want to abide in the place where God's power is? Do you want to abide in the place where you can really sense God's very presence? Don't you want that in your life? Then here's the thing. We have to be determined. We have to make it a priority, just like Jesus did, that we're going to dwell in the secret place, the solitary place of prayer. May God teach us how to pray as we should. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning.